creation of God. And so that we know exactly what we are dealing with. The mind is a set of cognitive faculties, including, it includes consciousness, imagination, perception, thinking, judgment, language, and memory. And all of these are housed in the brain. It sometimes includes the central nervous system. It is usually defined as the faculty of an entity's thoughts and consciousness. It holds the power of imagination, recognition, and appreciation, and it is responsible for processing feelings and emotions resulting in attitudes and action. So that we know about the mind, right? So just to remind us what we're talking about here today. And the reason I want to bring this subject, because very recently I've been moved by what I'm hearing that is happening inside and outside the church, of people's minds that have been troubled, so troubled that it has led to their downfall and to the ruining of them. I want to tell you that in the church today, the minds of people are being attacked by the enemy, and therefore we should be aware of that. And so the title of my sermon today is Think About What You're Thinking About. Yeah? And so I'm taking my thoughts from a couple of verses in the Bible. The first one is Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. I want you to stay with me today, because we are going somewhere. So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are what you think you are. Your thinking is to do with where you are. And so if you don't get a clear thinking on a subject, you will not be able to develop the ideas around that subject. If you don't get a clear thinking about who you are, you'll never be able to develop yourself. And that is why you will find people getting things wrong. When they get things wrong, their immediate response will be, oh, I wasn't thinking straight, or my mind was somewhere else. That's why you find so many people thinking of themselves as failures. And so if you think of yourself as a failure, you will fail, right? If you think of yourself as a loser, you're going to lose. If you think of yourself as no good, that's what you will act out in your life, and you will be no good to yourself or to nobody else. And the second verses, a couple of verses that I want to talk about is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Sister Debbie. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I want to tell somebody today, if you do not know it, in the church and even outside, there is a fierce war that is going on for your life. Not only for your life, but for the lives of your children. The enemy is at war, and he's
after the young, especially. You know, if you can get them young, this is a strategy, then you've got them for life. For anybody else that the enemy can get his hands on, he will cunningly use this powerful strategy that is not visible to the natural eye. He works in the spirit. It's not visible to the natural eye. You cannot see it. This is how he works. This battlefield, this battle that is taking place in the mind. It is in the mind. The mind is often referred to as the playground of the enemy. And I can understand that because that's his first point of entry. Your mind. The place that he uses and he plans his strategy to bring about your downfall. And so we are encouraged in the word of God, Ephesians 6 and verse 17, to put on the helmet of salvation. Put it on. Why? Because we need hope. And we need confidence of salvation. When the battle is raging. And I want to tell somebody, in this season, I can see it more than ever before. The battle is raging and it's extremely fierce. I don't know if the enemy knows that his days are numbered and it's coming to the end of time and something is about to happen and he's out to capture as many as he can. And he will use the strategy of attacking the minds of people inside and outside the church. The helmet that the Bible tells us to put on. It's part of our spiritual armor. In other words, the helmet of salvation will protect your mind. It's the protector of the mind. And I believe more than ever before, today, the enemy will try and attack the mind and rob you of your salvation. Salvation is a precious thing. It cost the blood of Jesus Christ. The other day, I was on my way to an event in central London. And I was a couple of cars away from an event. Not an event, but an incident that was taking place in front of me. And I could see a young woman lying on the ground. People around her. A car was next to her. It was smashed up, glass on the floor. Her bicycle was mangled as she laid there. And for a moment I thought she was dead, but she was alive. And the reason she was alive, I realized that she was wearing a helmet. Her head was protected. Her mind was intact because of the helmet. The helmet of salvation is the protector of your mind. There are so many strongholds that Satan will use to try and control your mind. And if he can control your mind, then he knows, this is it, that he can control your life. Let me say that again. If he can control your mind, then he has your life in his hands. And that's why so many people are hooked on the wrong things, because they are thinking and they're dwelling on the wrong things. Philippians 4 verse 8 says this, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, think about these things. And we find ourselves thinking about negative things. Things that will not build us up, but pull us down. We think about our faults, where we went wrong in the past, our sins, our weaknesses. But if you can think about the things that I've just read, and you can dwell on them, the truth that is in the Word of God, honorable things, righteous things, pure things, lovely things, good reports. When was the last time you heard a good report? If you can dwell on those things, I've got to tell you that your mind will be sound. If you can dwell on those things, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That is the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. So it's possible then, if you're not thinking about these things and you're thinking the opposite, you run the risk of going crazy, of losing your mind. You see, your thoughts determines your actions. It determines your mood. What mood did you come in here with this morning? What were you thinking about? Your self-image and the words we think. You cannot think negative thoughts and think to live a positive life. You cannot think about messed up things and live a life that is not messy. You can't think about thoughts of defeat and failure and expect to live a victorious life. Before your life can change, you're going to change your thoughts. If you're always thinking negative things, you will reap negative things. If Satan can capture your mind, if he can capture your mind, this precious thing that God has created, if he can capture that, then he has you. And this is why we are encouraged in the Word of God to protect our mind, to guard it, because it has value. Your mind has value. Proverbs 4:23 says, more than anything, you guard, more than anything, protect your mind. Think about that. For life flows from it. It did not say, more than anything, protect your leg or your hands or even your lips or your eyes, but your mind, this precious thing, God says, protect it, look after it, because it has value. And so if life flows from the mind, and if you are out of your mind, then somebody else has it. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, and they were saying there is a little bit of madness in all of us. Various levels of madness. But I'm not going to go into that right now. And it is in the mind that you serve God. You see, you cannot serve God if you're out of your mind. You cannot serve him with a reprobate mind. Matthew chapter 22, 37 says, the greatest commandment is to love God with all of your mind. Your mind is your spiritual hard drive. It can be programmed. It is impressionable. It is full of creative ideas. It is full of rights and wrongs. Your mind is a gold mind. It has value. It has worth. Somebody is after your mind. There is a constant war going on over the ownership of your mind. And if the enemy can get your mind, then he's got your life. So many young people, one of the things is why I really want to speak about this is that there are lots of young people who at this moment are suffering from depression. So many people inside and outside the church whose minds are being attacked. In our Wednesday service, I was getting a request to pray for people whose minds were troubled. And then one of the requests was a 10-year-old boy. 10-year-old boy suffering with depression. Can you believe that? In my day, I'm saying to myself, this has never happened. What is going on in this world? The enemy is after the minds of people. And once he has your mind, he has you. Get them young is his strategy. 10-year-old suffering with depression. It's not on. The devil does not care who you are. He does not care about your age, the color of your skin, whether you're rich or poor, black or white. He does not care about your class. If he can get your mind, then he has you. I was speaking to a psychologist the other day, and she was telling me that she's been treating young people suffering in their minds more than ever before. And these are young people who are extremely wealthy. They have money. They have everything. They have servants. They have everything. But their minds are troubled and not protected. Our minds are a constant war. There is a battle that is going on between good and evil. And it can happen to the best of us. A little thought can turn into a feature film. I've made some of those in my life. A little seed, if you feed it, can turn into an acorn tree. I guess there was a battle going on in the mind of the Apostle Paul. As he writes in Romans chapter 7, verses 18 to 19, For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, he says. In my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. This. I'm intrigued because this is the Apostle Paul. That man that is, very, very, very close to Jesus. Probably closer than I am. And he says, I'm having trouble. I find myself every time I want to do good. I find myself because of this battle that is happening in my mind. I find myself doing the wrong all the time. Has anybody ever been here? Let us be real. Let us be real, Christians, in this place. I want to tell you, saints, on the authority of the Word of God, that the enemy is after the minds of the believer, and if he can get your mind, then he can get you. And he doesn't care who you are. You could be next to Jesus like Apostle Paul was, but if he can get this thing that is housing your brain, I would love to know what the Apostle Paul was battling with. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you, sir? Perhaps when you meet him, you can ask him that question. Because the Bible doesn't tell us what the troubles were. But we know from what we have read that he was battling there in the mind. We must not allow sin to enter our minds. And to prevent that from happening, our thought should be around Philippians chapter 4 that I've just read. Thinking about those good reports. Think on such things. And then we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4 that the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine powers to demolish strongholds. When we talk about strongholds, we immediately think of sin, don't we? As well as sin, there are a host of other strongholds that we battle with, even in the church. Like depression. Christians get depressed. More than ever before, I've got to be honest, I've got to say that sometimes it surprised me when a Christian says that they are depressed. And I'm still trying to get used to it. Strongholds that the Bible speak about could be fear and phobias and unbelief. Do you know that Christians sometimes find it difficult to believe? Lord help, might be my unbelief. All these were inherently passed down to us as a result of the fall of man. And as a result of sin, we are left struggling internally in areas that people cannot see. We are. Our desires is to be what God wants us to be. Living in freedom. Not being actors. Acting out our lives, pretending to be somebody else. When really we are weighed down with depression. We're weighed down with heaviness and all kinds of strongholds. What happens? After a while, the acting will only last for so long because you get tired and the real you will show up. This is what we have to deal with. Saints, I'm telling you that it's affecting the church and something must be done about it. First of all, it has to be spoken about and we have to deal with this stronghold, especially in the church. The devil, I'm saying today, will not have the minds of God's people. Because today I declare in the name of Jesus that there is freedom, Satan, in the house of God. Freedom in this house. I've seen people stuck. People in the church. Let me address the church. Stuck in situations where doors have been opened for us. And for some reason, we're unable to get out of the position we find ourselves in. There's nothing holding us physically. There are no chains. There are no prison bars. But there are chains and there are bars spiritually. Our minds are locked up. Why do you find that you're unable to get away from the person or the thing that is no good for you? And you will go back to that same thing time and time again. Going around in circles, doing the same thing. That thing that you're doing will take you to the grave and it will take you to hell. But for some reason, you cannot break loose from it. These are people in the church. These are the things, reality. These are the things that we face. But I declare that the enemy shall not have a stronghold over our minds. No, sir. Not over my mind. I declare freedom in Jesus Christ. Liberated, set free. There are no bars that are holding me. God does not want you to be enslaved anymore, to be tied anymore. He wants to free your mind. The parable that Jesus told in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 to 32, of the lost son is a good example of that. No one placed him in the position that he was in. He turned his back on his home and his family, his father, and all those who loved him. He turned his back on them. Turned his back on good living. And he turned to wild living. And when he had lost everything during the years of famine, he was broke and he ended up feeding pigs. Longing for the pigs' food. When I was thinking about this, I'm thinking, did they not pay him? He was out of his mind. But the Bible says that one day, I've got to tell somebody that there will be a one day in your experience. That one day will come when we will come to our senses and not let the enemy rob us anymore. One day. He turned. He came to his senses. He woke up. He saw the light. And he said, wait a minute. Even my servants in my father's house, even they have food to eat. He made up his mind and he said to himself, I am getting out of this situation. Nothing is gonna hold me here. You see, you can make up your mind to get out. Some people think that it's a difficult thing, but you can decide to get out if you want to. I decided. I had a one-day experience in my life when I decided that the thing that I was doing, I am not gonna do anymore. Some people are waiting to hear the voice of God and see Jesus before they do the right thing. You don't have to wait for that. It is written in the Word, go against the flesh desires and turn to Christ. You can get out. You can make up your mind to free. You can make up your mind to free yourself from strongholds. Many people are not free because, not because God cannot free them, but because they don't want to be free. God never forces anyone. A person said to me the other day, no, lightning or thunder. I did not see Jesus. I did not hear him speak to me. But one day I just made up my mind. I don't want to do this anymore. I told my mind, it is over. No more. I am getting out. I came to my senses. Strongholds in your mind are merely incorrect thought patterns, thinking patterns. They are patterns in our minds that are programmed to think contrary to the word of God, think contrary to truth. And so we are told to cast down imaginations. That film that you are building in your mind, cast it down. Imaginations are this. They're things we imagine. Does anybody imagine anything? Yeah. I guess even now in this service, you're imagining Pastor Brian finishing his sermon. And you know that. That's why you're laughing, isn't it? Casting down imaginations. We think about them and we create them. We create them in our minds. We scheme them and then we act them out in our minds. Do you know that adultery is probably even taking place right now in this service? It's happening in your mind. There's some murders that are taking place right now. Some lies that are being told. It's happening in the mind right now. We think about them. We create them. And then later on, we act them out. Isn't that the reality? And the devil usually plants these seeds in our minds. When we ask, when he asks a question that starts with, what if? Did God really say? I'm not sure. And that's what happened to Eve in the garden. She knew what she was told. She heard the voice of God. She knew the instructions. But now the devil comes in her mind. He comes in and he throws the truth of God into question. That is the reality. Did God say? And immediately she begins to think about it. Where does she think about it? In her mind. And then the fall came. Past failures and sins can be a stronghold in the mind. Shame and guilt can be a stronghold in the mind. Feelings of hopelessness is a stronghold in the mind. Fear is a stronghold in the mind. Anything that is affecting your mind and is not of God is a stronghold in your mind. Today, we cast them down in the name of Jesus. We cast them down. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. I'm going to start that again and read blessed of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. There is no other way to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed. Speaking to Christians, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Short message, but this is what God wants me to bring you today. I want you to stand to your feet just now. Think about what you're thinking about. Because whatever you're thinking about will determine the outcome in your life. Think on these things. Good reports. Righteousness. Think on those things. And your mind will be sound. We've got to be honest with ourselves and say that the mind of many of us in the church are under attack. But today, I've come in the name of Jesus to release those minds that are bound. In the name of Jesus. And God says there is a life of freedom ahead of you. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Praise your name, Jesus. How do we do this? Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, you, God, will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts you, because she trusts you. You will keep her mind in perfect peace. The world is in turmoil at this moment. Brexit is on the horizon. Our politicians are in confusion. The whole world is in a mess. There is a turmoil that is happening right now. But God says, if you can keep your mind stayed on him, he will keep you in perfect peace. There is nothing like the peace of God. You cannot buy it. There is no way that you can obtain it but through him. Somebody in this place needs the peace of God. I hear the Spirit of God saying the turmoils in your life, as you keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus, he says he's going to keep you in perfect peace. Love the Lord your God with all your mind. With all your mind. Don't let your mind go anywhere else. But as you fix your mind upon Jesus, he is able to keep you in perfect peace. As I said, this is a short word. I believe this is a revelation that God wants for the church today. I'm going to ask you, if your mind is troubled, don't think about anybody else in this service. If your mind is troubled, if you're in a turmoil at the moment, not saying that you're depressed or anything like this, but if your mind is troubled anyhow and you cannot upon Jesus. I just needed to come forward because I just want to pray with you. I believe sincerely that God, because he told me, he wants to release your mind into freedom. Hallelujah. 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 Your mind is troubled. It's troubled. I know there are young people here, troubled minds. Depression is trying to take you out, but we're going to come against that spirit in the name of Jesus. We're going to cut it off right now, in Jesus' name. The children of God shall not be held captive anymore. Today, you shall experience salvation. I don't mean being saved, but knowing the presence and the power of God in your life. Is there anybody else? You don't have to feel any way about this. This is just between you and God. Karabu Shikia. Your mind is about to be transformed. God is going to bring healing right now. I want you to just stretch your hands. Just stretch your hands towards these people right now. Look, this is not my sermon. This has got nothing to do with me, but it has everything to do with the word of God. And I delivered the word of God, so I freed myself and I'm releasing the word into the church. And God says, you hear his voice. Pastor Tolu, please. What's happening? We don't need to know, God knows, but we're just going to declare.